This podcast may contain adult language and themes, or it might not. We're not really sure. We haven't recorded it yet.
I'm Jason.
I'm Diggs.
I make software, music, and podcasts.
I connect people, personally and professionally, and I like talking with Jason.
This is the Candy Factory 5x5 podcast.
Five conversations.
Five random topics.
5 minutes each.
When we hear this sound,
we move on to the next topic. Next.
On every episode, we invite a very special guest to join us.
Hi, my name is Ruby Mundock.
Is it?
Yeah.
And what do you do, Ruby Mundock?
I'm a freshman marketing student at Westchester University.
Rams up.
Heck yeah. And Jason is my dad.
That's great. You are my daughter. Welcome to the 5x5 podcast.
Thank you.
Great to have you on the show.
I'm honored.
Hemphill graduate for our Lancaster friends.
Go Black Knights.
How are things going? You've been in college for what, 3 months?
Two months? First semester is coming to a close. It's going pretty well. My classes are not that hard, thankfully. My urban planning project just won an award.
Oh.
Got a $5 Starbucks gift card.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
What can you get at Starbucks for $5?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Like a tall...
A glass of water.
A tall pike.
Yeah. A tall pike
and some ice.
That's about it.
Yeah, but... You know, it's the thought that counts.
No, that's very nice of them.
Yeah.
What was your project?
We basically had to find a problem on Gay Street in downtown Westchester and then provide a solution for it. So my group made this trolley that goes around Westchester, and I drew a picture of it for Christmas time with Santa out the window, and I think that's what won my teacher
definitely.
It was pretty good. He asked who drew it after, and I was like, yo, that was me.
So the semester is coming to a close?
Yep, finals.
Do you feel like you did well?
Yeah. I only have 2 finals, so as long as I don't just butcher those, like, I'll be fine.
The 2 finals and like 2 papers or just 2
finals? Oh yeah, 2 papers.
Oh, sorry.
I forgot about those.
Yep.
You're welcome.
Thanks. I gotta work on one a day, actually.
Good old Diggs the buzzkill.
Yeah, sorry.
Well, glad you're with us today. We're going to get things rolling trusty iPad. It's going to dial up our first topic for this episode's 5x5, and it is magazines.
Ooh.
You know what magazines are?
Barely. I'm a millennial. No, I'm not.
No, you're
I'm Gen Z, baby.
Yeah.
What, is there a magazine that you've ever read?
Yeah, well, growing up, Bop and Tiger Beat were my favorite magazines. I haven't seen one since I was 12, I think, but I used to be obsessed with them. Used to hang up the posters. It was like cool if you had them in school. But
is that right?
They were so expensive. So I never got them.
That would be pre-phone.
Yeah, that was like iPod 4 era.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think there was a magazine that I got. It was like about travel as a kid. It was something about, like, it would be a different...
Wait, I totally know what you're talking... Oh,
right.
With all the drawings in it.
Yeah.
Oh, Highlights?
Highlights.
Highlights.
Thank you. That's
it. Oh, that was...
Yeah, Highlights is a magazine.
Yeah.
That was, like, the one you got in school. And
that's true.
I was the only one that read it.
That was something that they would... Where did it even come from, Highlights? I mean, that was around when I was a kid.
I think it was Scholastic.
It probably was, because it was very, like, educational.
Yeah. Which I liked, but I understand that it was not fun for everybody.
Yeah, I was more into reading about One Direction.
Do you think magazines will ever come back like cassettes have or vinyl records?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this idea of a printed, monthly or weekly or monthly thing that is a feature driven.
Yeah,
I mean, there are local magazines that are trying to be a
thing today.
Well, there's Fig and Fine Living and different
Revelo
magazines.
And
right,
is Revelo still a thing?
That's the thing.
I don't even know what that is.
That's the thing about magazines.
It was,
I believe it is. I think it's just they don't print very many of them.
No, it's very like it feels like Fig when you flip through it, but it's more about like individual stories from around the city.
Which, right, Fig's an ad mag, right? Basically,
yeah, pretty much.
Yeah,
pretty much.
This is story centric.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's sort of like The Humans of Lancaster.
Oh, that's neat.
I actually
would like to read that.
But it's also cool because they get businesses to sponsor the stories.
Oh, that's cool.
So a business sponsors each story? Is that how it works?
Okay. Yeah. As far as I know, yes.
It's interesting because, when you know, magazines were a big deal back in the day. You know, I mean, the magazines were the primary way that kids in the 80s got music information.
So what was your magazine of choice?
Well, I was a metal kid.
Mm.
So Circus magazine was probably the primary. It's called Circus. It was like hard rock, heavy metal music. There was one called Hip Parader.
Hit Parader. Oh, wow.
Which sounds like it.
Wow, that was just not what I heard.
Yeah, well, sorry about that.
Okay, one more time. Hit Parader.
Hit Parader.
Got it.
Hit Parader magazine. And it was metal. About it feels like that probably started out as something different many years before that.
I would.
Because you wouldn't. Then what, there was one called Metal Edge, which makes a whole lot of sense.
That does make sense.
Those are the three that I remember. Cream, Rolling Stone were sort of the regular
Stone
rock.
Rolling Stone is a classic.
They That's were the true. Regular rock magazines. And then a little bit later came Spin. You guys never heard of Spin magazine?
No.
In the late '80s, early '90s, it was the alternative rock magazine. Mm. So bands like Nirvana and Pearl Jam and you know, kind of alternative rock as it came out, began to differentiate itself from regular rock or from like hard rock and heavy metal. So Spin was sort of the go-to source for that. And then there were some that were a little bit more. New Music Express, CMJ, there was a college music journal. Yeah, there were a ton of them.
Yeah.
I mean, but that was it. I mean, that's what you had. There was no, you know, there was no other really source of news for like bands and music other than magazines. And so I read a ton of them, you know.
Would we say that podcasts are the new magazines?
That's an interesting thought.
Yeah. I mean, because it's how I got a lot of my music was All Songs Considered off of NPR when I was commuting back in New York. Most of my news I tend to get in podcast form and may not necessarily be a podcast, but it'll be like the quick 5-minute update.
Well, I guess technically read music magazines. I read Loudwire and Pitchfork, but they're blogs.
The only magazine I read is every year before school starts, I go to Barnes & Noble and read fantasy football magazines. I never buy them because they're like $15. So I just take pictures of the pages. I hope I can't get in trouble for that. But, you know, I have them out when I draft my team.
I don't think the FBI is going to be knocking on your door anytime soon.
I have to put out a news bulletin. Ruby Mundock was recently incarcerated for
taking photos of magazines.
But I used to do that for sports magazines and Barnes & Noble.
Yeah, exactly. Like I have them out when I draft.
Yeah.
It's helpful.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Smart.
No magazines you currently read?
The Economist, but I don't read the physical copy.
It's all digital.
I read it online.
It's all digital.
Yeah.
Kind of sad.
Yeah.
Topic number two for today's 5x5 is earliest memories.
I know it's hard to differentiate what I actually remember and what I've seen, because growing up, we like recorded everything. So I've been watching my whole life on video since forever. But for some reason I have this distinct memory that was not on video, and I just tell people that was my earliest memory. And I think I was probably like 3 or 4, and it was Easter, and I was wearing a green winter coat, and I spilled jelly on it. That's all I remember. That's all I remember. And we went Easter egg hunting, and they made all the younger kids go first, so I had to wait, and I was like, guys, I'm like,
how old were you?
I was like 3 or 4, I think, because we were in the old house.
So young,
in Mountjoy.
Younger.
But like Jaina's age.
Oh, which is like 18 months younger.
Yeah, like they let them go first, and I was just like.
Were they going to crawl for the eggs?
Yeah, something like that, I guess. I was just sitting there so mad because I had jelly on my coat, and I couldn't get eggs.
Where did your jelly come from? Do you remember?
No.
It's just jelly.
There was just jelly on my coat. That's I don't know. That's all I remember.
Wow. I feel like your cousin Patrick was there, or my cousin Patrick. He was there for one of those Mountjoy.
Do you remember that lake? It was that lake.
I remember the coat. I don't remember the specific jelly incident.
For some reason, that's all I remember.
Is the coat still around? Like, were you? No. Did you hoard stuff like that? Okay,
no.
Darn.
I wish we could have pulled it out for evidence.
Could have tested it if it was grape or.
Yeah,
that's true.
It was probably grape. I wasn't really a strawberry kind of girl. Raspberry? No. Blueberry? No. Grape.
Diggs, what about you?
My earliest memory. So I actually have a scar above my eye, my left eye. I had I think it was a cyst when I was a baby or toddler. So my earliest memory, I think it was 18 or 19 months, or maybe a little older, but not.
Wow.
I wasn't more
That's
than
so
two.
Young.
And I remember waking up. I had issues with, we call it sleep, but the stuff that keeps
the
your
crusty
eyes.
Crusty stuff?
Yeah, the crusty stuff.
Oh.
My mom would have to like washcloth my eyes so that I could open them. So the morning after the surgery, my eye, I had an eye patch. I had a white eye patch on. This reason this becomes, I remember that is because this eye was able to open up because it wasn't exposed to the air. But this eye didn't. And so I only one eye opened and it was into the patch. And I was like, I'm blind. Something's like totally wrong. And at first I forgot about the surgery because I was like knocked out for it. And I just, I just had this, I remember freaking out. Like, I never really freaked out about my eyes being shut, but that like, I flipped.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So that's probably my earliest.
That's pretty scarring.
Memory. Yeah. And they still have the scar. It's from the stitches.
Oh my gosh.
Right there. Yeah.
I mean, I have memories from around the age of four. I guess three or four. And there are a few of them, but I think you raised a good point about watching yourself.
Yeah.
Like on video. So we didn't have films. I didn't have, my parents didn't have like a Super 8 camera cause there were really no video cameras in the early 70s. But, so I don't have that. Like I'm not remembering something that I watched of myself on TV, but I think it's the story sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cause I have there's this memory of hurting myself. And we lived in this apartment before I was in kindergarten. So that's why I'm guessing 3 or 4 years old. And there was a time where I ran into a corner. Like I just I guess with my head. And it tore a cut into my forehead and it was bleeding on my face and my mother came out of the bathroom, of course, freaked out. Mm-hmm. But I've heard that story told, and so I think that the memory I have of that is something that I made up later.
I could see that.
You know what I'm saying? Yep.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that I question about these early memories is how much of it are these little stories, these little movies that you have in your head because of a story that was later told to you that you are now, I mean, the jelly seems pretty legit. But
yeah, because that's like you wouldn't have.
I wouldn't have told you that story.
Exactly, because right. It's pointless.
But I do have these distinct memories of that place, mm-hmm. of that apartment, and hanging out in it, and you know, watching TV in that apartment and that sort of thing. So I can't really pinpoint a specific thing, mm-hmm. But that's what I remember. I do wonder how videotaping children
has changed,
and the long term effect of that. Like,
Yeah.
I mean, Ruby's right. Like we have video.
From the day I was born until today.
Wow.
Like we film everything.
There's a pretty, you could string together a pretty.
We probably have enough footage for like a whole like day worth of my life.
Oh, more than that.
More than that.
Way more than that.
We could do like the CNN decades, like one of those things. But it's
you could do like a Netflix docuseries.
On my life
On
so
your
far.
Life just with the footage that
Yo,
I've captured.
I should contact them. That'd be cool.
Yeah. That'd Dude, be, it'd spike cool your TikTok.
Life. Run a pilot. Yeah. Run a pilot. Earliest memories. This is coming up. Topic number 3. Today's episode of 5x5 is, drum roll, being vegan. Uh-oh. Being vegan. Are you vegan?
Oh, my God. No.
Anybody
oh
here vegan?
No.
Anybody here ever want to be vegan?
No.
Maybe we should just move on to the next
one. No.
There's a whole meme culture about being vegan. I was vegetarian for like a year. That was a like, hardest year of my life.
What's hard about it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, burgers are my favorite food.
Okay.
And ice cream is my second favorite food. Ice cream a food?
Well, yeah. I mean, it is, but you can still have ice cream if you're vegetarian.
Yeah, well, being vegan.
Vegan.
Because vegan's no dairy. So like that's why I want to be vegan. The burger
part, got it. Sorry. We're kinda I thought spreading this was the memory out. Of you no, being no, no, vegetarian. No. I was like, wait.
It kind
of
added into that, but
got it.
I don't know. I just... Everyone's just like, oh my God, I'm vegan. And I'm like, guys,
Do you have vegan friends at school?
No, I have like one vegan friend. And like, I'm
That's
all
gotta
for
suck.
It. Well, oh, no. Especially at college. Because the food that we have there, like they've got a little side cafe with options. But like, it's the same thing every day. And like, how good is it really?
No, I think that is one I was going to say. Like, I remember friends who were exploring veganism in college, and they had the hardest time because it was like salad and
soup
every night,
barely.
So I understand the ethical reasoning for it. It's just that just don't have the brain power to remember that I can't eat.
Me too, literally.
I forget that I have a mild coconut allergy to raw coconut. Like, I won't die, but like I will remember as soon as my throat feels tingly.
Sure.
Like, oh yeah, I should have checked to make sure this. That, like, you know, I'll see a cookie, like the Girl Scout cookie that's got the raw coconut on it, and I'll eat it and forget, and then, oh, I shouldn't have eaten that. So if I can't even keep track of one thing.
All that stuff? No, me too. I tried going gluten-free for like a month, and oh my gosh, it was so hard. It's the same exact thing. Like, you have to check everything. And even like, there's so many foods that just have like a tiny bit of some sort of animal product, and then you're screwed.
Yeah, if you're like, if you're trying to be a diehard vegan, man, that is going to be, that's tough.
Like, it's, nothing against, props to vegans, honestly. Absolutely. Like, they're working hard out there. I just can't.
Yeah. And I know that there are folk, like, I have some very dear friends who are very, I won't call them hardcore vegans, but they will occasionally, like, share adopt a pet story, but then somehow turn it into a vegan post at the same time. That stuff drives me nuts. Mm-hmm. I can't, like, I'm not going to go, you know, here's this cow that's going to become my burger one day. Like, that's just, like, could we not?
It's like yeah.
It's a little too much.
It's like those people downtown that, like, force their religion on you. It's like, guys.
Yes. It's like.
Like, I respect your opinion and your beliefs, but, like, I respect my own.
Right. We all have, you know, free will.
Yeah.
There's an interesting thing about veganism, though, that I think there's a distinction between veganism and what's now called plant-based.
Yeah.
Did you notice that? Like,
there's a difference?
Well, hear me out. Veganism is sort of like militant. It's more like a more militant approach of this idea of being plant-based.
Okay.
In other words, I hear people say I'm on a plant-based diet. They don't say I'm a plant-baster. Or something like that.
Oh, I see.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like people identify as vegan, but, well, I guess maybe the difference is the use of animal products, period.
True.
Like, a vegan isn't going to wear leather a jacket. Coat,
right.
Or use hair product with, like...
I see.
But I could be be on a plant-based diet. I could eat just plants or plant-based foods, but I could not give a shit about my shoes being leather.
Right. Hmm. That's fair.
And that's a very important distinction, mm-hmm. because there is some significant medical research that suggests that plant-based diets are actually really
harmful.
No,
that was a joke. I didn't mean that. No, someone was trying to make that argument to a vegan, and completely destroyed because it's not true.
So what's not true?
That it's that plant-based diets are
dangerous.
Are dangerous for your health, because they're not.
Oh, someone was saying that dangerous. Okay.
Yeah, that was their primary reason for not vegan. Primary reason for not being vegan.
Just saying that to someone that's vegan is probably more dangerous than a plant-based diet alone. Yeah, that's all I'm saying right now.
There's some look, in fairness, there are some very nice vegans.
Yeah, there are.
Shout outs to my soft vegan friends.
Shout out to
loving
my one
and touchy
vegan friend.
It's you know, there's some significant medical benefits to a plant-based diet, but I think that there's sort of a difference between this perception or connotation that goes along with the word vegan.
That's fair.
In an episode that we recently published, I said that we would get our first hate mail. We're definitely getting hate mail.
Oh, for 100%. This one. Yeah. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, that's okay.
Oh, well.
We'll see. Bill Cosby of veganism.
Topic number four, this episode's 5x5, is the holidays.
Oh, holly jolly.
Where are you at with the holidays, Ruby?
Oh, I'm so excited. I'm a fair believer of Christmas music on November 1st. Well, I told myself I'd wait until Thanksgiving this year, but my favorite band, Lawrence, if you've never listened to them, go listen. Shout out to them. Released a Christmas album. And
in October?
On like November 12th.
Oh.
And yeah, that was it for me. I was like, okay, Christmas is here, let's go. But I really hate when people fight me about that, because there's no Thanksgiving music, so what am I supposed to do? Like, there's one Thanksgiving song that I know of, and it's Thanksgiving theme from Charlie Brown, and I'll gladly listen to that, but like, they kind of go together in my eyes.
Christmas music and Thanksgiving.
Yeah, because like, Thanksgiving is like the stepping stone to Christmas. I don't want people to think I shove it under the rug. I love Thanksgiving. But, you know, I don't know.
Would you rank your holidays?
Oh, geez.
Number one. Well, your favorite holiday.
This is controversial. I consider the Super Bowl a national holiday. I'm a huge football fan, if you didn't know.
I'm figuring that out.
Yeah, so my top three is probably Christmas, Thanksgiving, and the Super Bowl.
Okay. In what order?
Oh, boy.
You think about
Christmas,
that.
Christmas, the Super Bowl, Thanksgiving.
Oh, Christmas number one?
Yeah.
Then the Super Bowl.
But see, the build-up to Christmas over the actual day.
Oh, that's... I agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
where are you at with the holiday sticks?
Meh. At this point. I mean,
it changes.
Yeah, it does kind of change. I mean, I'm not a big... Like, my family, we don't really do Thanksgiving much anymore together. Like, I tend to be with my college roommate's family in one form or another. Christmas, I could take it or leave it. And not that I grew up Christian, so it's not about religion or anything like that. But it's just not big on the presents, and so I don't need that. Same on my birthday. I don't need presents on my birthday or anything like that. I'd rather have an experience, to be honest.
Oh, me too.
I do like New Year's Eve.
Ooh.
I don't like the day. The day can kick around. Yeah.
Right.
Unless I can make it to Mummers in Philly, then the day is fun. But if I had to pick, I'd rather just have New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve, that's it.
Yep, and I'm good.
So technically are the holidays Thanksgiving through New Year's?
Well, it's Thanksgiving through...
What is the holiday? Everybody says, what's the holidays?
I always say October, like Halloween through New Year's.
Oh, Halloween kicks off the
Yeah, the holidays. Okay. That day comes, and then the next day it's like Christmas.
Okay. I think we described it as Thanksgiving through the end of the first week of January, just because you couldn't really, because January 2nd was always like a throwaway day. So just finish the whole week and then.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah. I think people stay in holiday mode.
Right.
Or at least a week or two into like January. January is usually a pretty slow ramp up.
Yeah.
Third, fourth, that first weekend rolls around when you're vacuuming up the needles.
Right.
Deciding whether or not you're going to go take the lights down. Going back to school from break.
Oh,
right.
Gosh.
There's that.
Yep.
Yeah, it's interesting. I've wondered about that because one of the problems that I have with the holidays isn't the holidays itself. It's this idea that nothing can get done.
Right.
Like that from the middle of November, it's like, well, let's just talk about that after the new year. That's seven weeks away.
Right.
That's like 7 weeks away. If you go backwards from the time you're saying that, you're like in summer.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, it's that and that everyone has to be happy because not everybody's happy around the holidays.
Well, that's true.
I have to also, not everyone celebrates the Judeo-Christian holidays, so which is something that got drilled into me from growing up in New York. You just have to remember that you can't run around saying Merry Christmas to everyone,
right?
And expect a good response,
especially in a diverse city like that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think that that thing comes from these areas that are primarily Christian or whatever, and so there's this. Yeah, I grew up in a town that was probably 99% Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, specifically and Eastern European persuasion. So it was just like, of course you did, So people who grew up in that context and maybe are still in that context can't understand this idea that it would even be a thing.
That it wouldn't be a thing, right.
Exactly.
And then it's we must put Christ back at Christmas. You know,
those
things. It's like, well, hold on. Like, you can put Christ back in Christmas.
But I don't have to do that.
Right. Like, it's the same thing as veganism. Like, you know, but seriously, it's like, I appreciate that that's what you are and that who you want to believe or what you want to believe, but don't pretend like everybody else has to be happy about it.
I will say Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday.
Okay.
I really like Thanksgiving.
The food.
I was going
to
say.
Well, it's the food and it's also the idea that really the obligation is to hang out with people you like.
Yep.
And think about what you're grateful for.
Yeah.
I mean, if that's it,
that's
right? Like, I'm not Thanksgiving shopping right now. I'm not listening to Thanksgiving music. It's just a really easy holiday with a good message.
Ruby wants to change that, though. We're gonna
Thanksgiving music is going to happen.
It's coming.
Yep.
you're bringing it. Topic number five and the final topic of today's 5x5 is colleges versus universities.
Oh, Lord. This is his fault. This is your dad's fault because I know exactly what this was. He wanted me to explain what the difference was.
Yeah, is there a difference?
Well, that's what we're here to find out. And our friend Diggs just so happens to work in...
I work for a group of colleges across the state.
Okay.
So specifically colleges. so the in the rest of the world. But then I won't say the rest of the world. The we're sort of based off the British system mostly in the U.S.
Things are smart.
I had to learn this stuff.
Pay attention, kid.
You don't have to. Everyone's going to go to sleep on this. But the university was made up of colleges.
Oh.
So.
I know what you got.
So okay. It's like if you, a Rhodes Scholar that goes to Oxford is actually put into one of the 25 colleges within Oxford.
Mm-hmm.
So that you'll go to, I can't think of it, Christ Church is one of the colleges of Oxford. I don't know where I pulled that one out of. So you'll be more affiliated to Christ Church than Oxford University itself.
Yeah.
What we did in the States is we sort of, there's a system called the Carnegie Classification System, and those are the folks that determine whether you're like a Research 1 institution, Research 2.
Okay. So they categorize these institutions.
Yeah, they're all categorized by this Carnegie classification. And so that determines your college versus university status. So shifting to university status, Cabrini near you, down mm-hmm. near Westchester, switched to university status mostly because they're now offering a lot of postgrad degrees. That's usually the defining line for us in the States, is whether or not your institution has master's or PhD or doctoral level studies. It's not written in stone. There are a bunch of colleges that offer postgrad degrees. There are a bunch of universities that don't. But that's the rough demarcation in the States.
But somebody's deciding that?
Yeah,
like Franklin & Marshall is college.
Is a college, yes. There's no postgraduate degrees at Franklin & Marshall. Now, Juniata College, which is also in my group that I work with, they do offer postgraduate degrees. But it's not to a level where it would make sense for them to become Juniata University, because then there's a lot of money that comes with that. You have to rebrand everything. That's the one thing that people don't think about. It's like with when you switch your name, it's millions of dollars of things you got to find the old college things that are mentioned around campus. Got to dig them up. Got to redo them. Got to repaint athletic
That's
fields.
True.
Yeah, got to redo all your sports logos, all your branding for communications.
You.
Yeah, it's a lot of money. So usually institutions don't do it unless they really do need to like break away from their past or really want to change direction.
Sure. Mm-hmm. If I were to start a school today, would I start a university?
Well, what do you want? Do you want to do undergraduate degrees? Do you want to be master's and doctoral granting? That's sort of the...
So that is, yeah.
If it's like grad school, it's a university.
For the most part.
For the most part.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't like this for the most part thing. I want to rule.
No, it's that's the problem. So like...
But in England, it's all universities?
It's almost all universities. If you say that you've gone to a college that's not tied to university, that's probably like a private boarding school situation.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
All right, so I got
like Eton College. Okay. Well, is a boarding school. It's a high school boarding school. It's not tied to a university.
Oh.
Yeah.
So it's high school level.
If it's completely separate.
If you would have seen the look on his face. When
yeah,
I
it's hard to. It's confusing.
It was half between, like, I'm almost interested in telling you the answer to this question and shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
That was kind of what you gave. That's what you sent me.
I
through your body language. No, that's cool. But I do have a follow-up question.
Yeah.
What the hell's a Rhodes Scholar?
Oh.
I have no idea. And I'm, like, in college.
Are you a Rhodes Scholar?
No, you're not. Rhodes Scholarship. Oh boy. Okay. Well, it's tied to slightly racist past. It's named for Cecil Rhodes.
Oh, it's named after a person.
Yeah.
Because all the jokes I've heard is like Rhode.
Oh no. R-H-O-D-E-S.
Right. Rhodes. Okay.
Rhodes Scholar. So, I don't know where he made his money, but he at one point helped found, Rhodesia, which is now Zimbabwe, if I remember right. But was, the English rule in Rhodesia at the time is very, very oppressive, so that's like persona non grata. You don't talk about Rhodesia. However, we still have the Rhodes Scholarship because the money that he made in doing whatever he did got put into a trust, and so it basically funds, I think it's only open to Americans. I don't know if there can be a Canadian Rhodes Scholar, but then you get a fully funded master's degree to go get from Oxford.
Oh,
it's just
specifically Oxford.
Oxford. Yep.
Huh.
Wow.
Maybe
so, like, Bill Clinton is a Rhodes Scholar.
Interesting.
Yep.
Maybe I'll be one.
Yeah.
What's the racist part?
Oh, Cecil Rhodes himself was racist.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, not the scholarship.
I was like, I don't get it.
Sorry.
But no, thanks for clarifying. I've always wondered that.
Yeah.
I never knew what that meant.
Be more information in the show notes.
That's right. We'll link to it in the show notes. Yeah. Thank you, Ruby, for joining us on today's show. What did you think?
That was pretty fun.
All right.
Shout out to my friends who are listening
to
this.
Yeah, you can shout out to your friends.
If you made it the whole way through, thanks.
Hey, no, guys. No offense.
Hey, guys, what's up? it was really fun.
Yeah, thanks awesome. For coming.
Maybe I'll start a podcast.
It's time.
Yeah.
Like, that'd be pretty fun.
I know a guy who can help you.
I do, too.
Me, too. My dad.
All right, that's it.
The Candy Factory 5x5 podcast is recorded at the studios of The Candy Factory, a co-working campus in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
The show is produced and hosted by Jason Mundock,
along with co-host Robert Diggs, regularly joining the Yakety Yakking.
The opinions and views expressed on this podcast are solely those of the expressor.
The Candy Factory is not in any way responsible if anyone said something stupid.
Our theme music was composed
and recorded by a really cool guy.
Really cool guy.
A really cool guy.
Really cool guy named John Chin.
Relevant links and show notes can be found on the show post
at the Candy Factory website.
CoworkingInLancaster.com.
Maybe that's it.
Is that it? Okay.